Welcome to Last Week on Keith and the Girl. I'm Bianca Brady, your host with the most, as they say. And here with me today, just like every other time, are Keith and Hemda. Hello, welcome to the show.
Hello, hello.
Hello, thank you.
Hello, we did it. We did it. Another week
of alive. We're still alive. Everyone checked in. Everyone clicked the link.
Everyone clicked the Zoom, and that's how we know we're here. Mm-hmm. Although I did watch 60 Minutes last night with my mom, and it was a piece on deep fakes. So honestly, you never know. This could be not me.
Maybe you're Tom Cruise.
Maybe I'm Tom Cruise. Right. Exactly. Deep Tom Cruise fake. Hey. But the thing about that 60 Minutes piece, I don't know if anybody else saw it. We watch it pretty much most weeks. But the deep fake Tom Cruise guy has a friend who looks just like Tom Cruise, who does like most of the video and has a voice like Tom Cruise. And then they just like do his eyebrows a little bit and make him look more like Tom Cruise.
Okay.
So it's kind of like, okay, well, if you didn't have somebody who looked exactly like Tom Cruise on hand, maybe it wouldn't be so creepy.
Right.
Uncanny.
So we don't, did you leave there going, we don't have to worry too much
about what's real? I said, synthetic media is going to signal, you know, a huge shift in, you know, how we make culture, how we perceive reality, and I'm not ready for that.
Think we're going to lose friends over it? Like that if I know somebody that believes that Tom Cruise is running for president because he saw that, and I'd be like, I can't be friends with you because we can't talk about anything.
Yeah, I do. I think you will lose friends over that.
Fingers crossed.
It wouldn't put it past you to lose friends over, you know, a whole myriad of different things.
That's true. That's true.
That could happen.
Right.
We're sponsored today.
Oh.
This episode of Last Week on Keith and the Girl is brought to you by NotHelpful.com.
Oh, no.
This is a great service.
How?
So what it is you go to the website and you make an appointment to meet someone outside of your closest 7-Eleven, and then they just yell at you to snap out of it.
Huh. That's not helpful.
If that's
.com.
Exactly. Oh. And if that doesn't do it for you, other options include telling you to suck it up.
Mm-hmm. You're not a victim.
Grow some dick on your balls, or
that's the saying.
You're just too sensitive.
Okay.
And that's nothelpful.com, so you can make your appointment through the website to meet the person in person. They're often late, and it's cash on delivery, and it's exact change only. And it's nothelpful.com. Use code KATG just so that they can, you know, get some info on you so that they can kind of get to your most sensitive things that you're most self-conscious about, and then use that against you in the parking lot of the 7-Eleven.
Wow. I would think that code KATG would just not be helpful.
Doesn't sound it.
NotHelpful.com. And we're very proud to be partnering with them. Snap out of it, everyone. Right. Okay.
Congrats.
Guys.
Yeah.
Guys, we did it. Mm-hmm. Last week happened. We did the shows. And we got to talk about them.
Okay.
I'm in this like a very sort of like zen mind space right now. Like the day was long. The day was hard. The day was work, you know, focus. And I drove back to New York from Massachusetts this morning. I left at about 7 a.m. And so I was driving and I was listening to Q&A and the Kevin Allison episode on my drive. And then also last week with Rod and Karen, and I heard that the Diamond Dogs episode, Craig was mad at me.
I know, isn't that right?
So I listened to a little bit of that as well. And then I did a bunch of research today on James Webb Telescope, and I have it all. I have another computer here next to me, and I have a lot of things to reference.
It's fascinating stuff, right?
So that's a little sneak peek for later in the episode.
Okay. But
the
first sneak peek on how you both are going to lose friends.
How to lose friends and alienate people with Bianca, Dale Carnegie, Brady. Okay, episode 3,564, Mike Cannon's huge mistake with Mike Cannon. Now, was his huge mistake that he was in a cave without the internet? This episode was very short. I looked at the timestamp and I said, huh, interesting. That is a shorty for Mike Cannon. He's normally like a gregarious guy and they have a great talk. And then Keith's energy throughout the episode was like really high key and sort of like, and then later on in the episode you said, you guys have heard 30 minutes but we've been here for 4 days. So give us a little BTS on this.
That is what the huge mistake is. It was his internet, it was the 17 different starts, and I definitely can see that I was trying to get in quick sentences before his internet cut out once again.
Oh man, it's extra special because last week on Monday is when we started promoting that we're going live the next week. You guys didn't know that, but that was the surprise. We went live today. So now we just decided to go live on YouTube, and now this guy's internet is just cutting in and out. So we'd be live just going like, yeah, let's wait for my Canon. Hold on. He's restarting and blah, blah, blah. Or we'd be talking heat freeze or heat freeze and we could still sort of hear him and then it catches up and then it starts talking like a chipmunk and we're like, all right, come back. And then here's what you were saying. Start from there. And I know that like this is obviously it's driving me crazy, but I know it's driving Keith more crazy. I know now Keith is starting to wonder if we should go live. I know, you know, he wants to like do a different surprise. Like maybe we would just do a different surprise. They don't know that we were going to go live, right? Maybe that's what you were thinking.
Who knows? Whatever. Yeah.
And in my head, I was like, this is what I would want to see. I don't care. I don't have to fix it. If like a podcast that I like is live on YouTube and their guest thing freezes, I'm all right. I want to see the behind the scenes. I want to see the two hosts pretend to be calm. Everyone's still being super friendly. We're like, no, it's cool. Let's just start. Where were we? And then Keith has to listen back. Where did we end off? Where do we start again? And it's just...
I'd be more calm now that instead of thinking, what if we were live, knowing that we will be live and this happened, I'd go, try to come back in, but I don't know if I can hear you. Make fun of his, and then if he comes again, go like, well, it's not working. We'll set up another time later. Bye. And keep going because we have to.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I can't feel bad. So I can handle it. But yeah, it was a shame.
Of course you can. And I don't think you seemed weird at all. And I thought you were pretty calm the whole time and just kind of kept picking up. And I agree with you that a more finite decision would have been made if we were live.
Yes.
And it would be like, hey, we can't keep interrupting the audience right now. We're live. This is the second time it happened. Let's make another appointment.
Mm. Mm. New rules.
Mm-hmm.
New rules.
You got to be cruel to be kind, you know?
Yeah. I could tell that there was something up, and then I felt very vindicated when I heard you say that.
Yes.
I still really like the show.
I love the show. I love Mike Cannon. He's so funny. And I mean, just he is so self-aware, especially like through the years talking about being a comedian, being a son to a dad, and now being a dad to a son is really interesting to hear his progression. Yeah, and just like I thought it was interesting to hear his experience about his wife being pregnant and being like extremely protective of her in like a hormonal way that sort of threw him off. Like he surprised himself with how aggressively he wanted to protect the fetus, which I think is so, it's so funny when like intellectual people or sensitive people sort of realize like what they're doing is animalistic and they have a funny way of describing it.
Yes.
That's what I like about that guy, Mike Cannon. He's a funny guy. Hamda, you got COVID.
I did.
And you were teasing. I think you kind of divulged later in the week, but you were like, I may know where I got it. And Keith was like, names. Mm-hmm. And you were like, I don't know if anyone. But I know. Name was like, maybe my landlord, as if anybody knows who that is.
Right.
The name was maybe my landlord, but I don't think so. Like, it was the only person in our home, but she masks everywhere she goes, and we warned her that we'll be distancing from her and fully masked, and she was like, oh yeah, I'm all about that. So it wasn't like, oh sure, for you, you know, that kind of thing. She did say that one of the elderly people that she checks in on got COVID from church, and this is what happens when people tell me like, oh yeah, but a good friend of mine just told me that they tested positive the other day for COVID. I'm like, okay, how do I ask them when was the last time they saw this person? And it seemed like, you know, cause it was like a Monday or Tuesday. And I'm like, oh, I think I just straight up tried to say like, when did you see her? And I think she saw her before the COVID.
And well, it sounds like they're taking care of somebody. So they're 5 feet, you know, they're right on top of them. They're feeding them tea and shit, it sounds like.
Yeah, and they have, and she has an elderly parent she's taking care of, and a child in
put her on
in college.
What's her name? What's your landlord's name?
It would be way too easy to blame her because, you know, people are closer to me in the supermarket, and they're closer to me like walking down the street. Sometimes I wonder, do you not see the amount of space on the sidewalk that you have to walk right beside me? I started flashing back to somebody sneezed and they were close. You know what I mean? I don't know. And people are testing negative like Xerxes, and they're for sure, they have one of the strains. There's no way Xerxes doesn't have COVID right now. Maybe so, no, I don't want to.
You think it was Xerxes?
It was, yeah. I wanted to blame the landlord because she raised the rent $200, yeah. But that's the, and because hey, I'm me, thinking
she's guilty.
yeah.
She was so sweet about it, and they've never raised the rent before, and you know our Con Ed bills are going crazy, and COVID, blah blah blah, and you know she's telling me all this stuff, and I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna pay it. Like, I just, you know, all of a sudden I find that I'm, you know, making her feel better about it, and I'm like, okay, I'm just stop. Like, but they've been so good to me when I was sick and in the hospital. They're like, you don't have to pay rent for whatever. They also said, if you have hardships, just let us know. We can delay this or do it. They also said, you have two mommies down the block. You know, while I was sick, they brought me soup, like all this shit. And they've always, always been good. So I'm joking when I say I think it's, I really think other people got way closer and were possibly just as sick.
Yeah, I also have a nice landlord who similarly is nice about when you're sick. Maybe it's just a thing about being sick. Your landlord has to be nice.
Well, I did also get this apartment from a friend of a friend.
Okay.
And so, like, we have interacted outside of it. They are very, very genuinely nice people. And so, no, I'm not blaming her at all. But really, distance at the fucking supermarket. We're all waiting in line, and I try to put a distance. I put, like, the shopping cart in front of me and some stuff behind me. Like, why would we need to get close in line at the supermarket? Okay, I'm done.
Kenda ties two shopping carts, one to her front, one to her back, while she walks around just carrying shit.
I bring a cart, so I have done that, my own cart in the front, the other one in the back, and, you know,
What I'm if she went to the grocery store, but in one of those like Gone with the Wind
hoop skirts.
Dresses,
yeah.
Scarlett O'Hara hoop skirt. And she's just like gliding through the aisles. That would be good.
And it has like measuring marks on it.
Yes, yes, exactly.
I should just wear a sign on my back, 6 feet back. But nobody pay. You know, sirens here. There could be a fire truck coming down the fire lane in New York and no one is moving. Nobody yeah. gives a shit. In LA, when we drove there, you heard a siren. People parted the sea. Everybody, whether you were in the way or not, you were making way. Yeah. New York. I love New York. I'm sorry, New York. I'm not blaming you either, but I am.
New York is so odd. I love it too. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I don't know if any of us live here. We're more just trapped here by our own egos. Right. We're just like, refuse to let it get to us. Like, yeah, well, I could take it. It's like, oh my God, it's so difficult.
Yeah, somebody's boyfriend.
I could take it. The amount that you raised my rent is probably other people's rent throughout the country. But yeah, I can take it.
As a boyfriend, I say, if you can be with me, you can be with anybody. Come on. Right. You got right. this. Come on.
Speaking of boyfriends and taking it, the poll was about being allergic to pets.
People allergic to pets, but their lover or family has a pet anyway, because fuck you. That's shocking to me. Mike Cannon is going through that. I don't get it. I hope you have a side piece, Mike.
Oh my God.
We asked the audience, do you live with a pet that you're allergic to? 6% say yes.
Huh.
And
it's high, I think.
It's crazy to me. Crazy yeah. to me.
I mean, I think in that case, I think either you're in a abusive relationship or you're not that allergic, you know?
Right. No, like, people are crazy allergic. They have to pop a pill or two every day, and they're still, like, coming out of their faces with the allergies. I think people's pets just mean a lot.
I get sneezy around cats sometimes, but I like them enough and that I don't... I mean, I wouldn't want to live with one, for sure, but I like the cats. I like the cats and the dogs. What am I going to do? I like the guys.
I guess. I mean, how many people are living with kids they never wanted?
If only you can pop a pill.
Yes.
Hello, nurse.
You're letting them pop pills. Relax, kid.
Well, to all of you who live with pets you're allergic to, my sincere hope that these animals die very soon.
That's best case, right? Unless you want the relationship to end. What do you want? Just what do you want?
But then there's, okay, let's say the pet will hopefully die before its
perish.
Owner. Right? Perish. Because they live a way shorter life. Then the question is, does your partner go out and buy another pet that you're allergic to?
No, that was the one.
I think they do, right?
Yeah, they get another one.
That's when it's extra rude, I think.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Maybe living in separate houses from your spouse that's really the answer, I think, to a lot of these people's problems.
Not in New York. Not paying double rent. You could buy a mansion like 2 hours away from here for double
Again,
rent.
Again, another reason why we should not live here.
We really shouldn't.
You can buy the Zyrtec franchise in Wisconsin. Right.
Yeah, for the amount of money you spend on rent in New York, you could be a large stakeholder in Zyrtec and Unilever or whatever.
Right.
Anyways, we have to move on. Yeah. I'm so sorry, sure. But Mike Cannon, you're out of here.
See you next.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere with Ben Rosenfeld. Mm-hmm. New guest alert. Let me ask you. I must do my journalistic duty. Sure. Was Ben an asshole?
Let me ask you, Bianca. Was Ben an asshole?
Yes.
I wouldn't say he was an asshole. No. You know what? Ask again.
Okay.
Let me start over.
Okay,
ask again.
Great.
Ask again.
Was Ben an asshole?
No.
Ask me what I thought of Ben.
Hamda, what did you think of Ben?
Really nice guy.
Oh, ask me. Ask me what I thought of Ben then.
Keith, what did you think of Ben?
Hamda had a thought.
Hamda?
Wow, super sweet. I'd invite him to my parents' Thanksgiving and not go myself. Harmless guy.
Wow. Okay. I think.
Oh, ask me. Ask me.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Keith, was Ben an asshole?
Never hurt me.
Okay.
All my interactions have been...
He didn't yeah. shit in my bed.
Now, let me ask you.
He didn't pee in the corner of any part of my house.
If Ben was your spouse's pet,
mm-hmm.
could you live in the same house?
I'd need a pill.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get this. I mean, whatever. You know, how can you know a person who sure. contains multitudes? I'm just here
to name a multitude.
Name a dude.
Here to judge people based on about an hour of listening to them talk to you guys. Listen, that's the job. That's what I'm here for.
Right.
Did I enjoy the interview? No. Was it because of you two? No. So I don't know what to say. I mean, I'm just being honest about it. Yeah. I'm sure he's a great guy.
Seems like a good husband.
Good husband, good father. But don't worry, he'll never remember you when he sees you out in public.
Oh, that's right.
He'll say, oh, my prosopagnosia is acting up again.
Oh, and then I'll be like, oh, well, we know each other. I'm Aether. Nice to meet you.
See ya.
I did my hair curly today and just left it
and
natural.
I'll say, and I'm Keith Malley.
He was so sweet and fucking, I can hear Keith trying in this episode. I'm like, oh, Keith is trying. I'm like, oh, you're asking him another question.
Mm-hmm. He's like, the Ukraine, you know what Craig said? He quit listening because he couldn't stand this guy when Ben compared the Russia-Ukraine war to shit we've done in Iraq. He's like, I had to turn it off.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of comedy people and improvisers are sort of, they go by this credo of yes and. That's a really, you know, kind of a common sort of way to get from point A to point B in a conversation or
and to play along. Yeah,
to play along.
Mm-hmm.
Ben struck me as a real no but guy. See, no but. And
did he even answer anything enough to say yes or no?
I felt a lot of no from his direction.
In his stand-up, he talked about being Russian. He talked about some stuff where I'm like, that's why I think, Keith, you kept asking him questions, because you gathered plenty of information. Like, when you watch a stand-up, it's pretty streamlined. It's funny. It's good.
Yes.
And it touches on his personal life. So I'm sure you thought like you can draw from that. And I'm like, wow, you're still asking questions. And I assumed it's because his stand up has a substantial amount that you think it's going to click into something at any moment. Am I right?
That you are correct. And he got me good. I look like a big fucking idiot.
Think you looked like an idiot.
No, I'm just kidding. But he got me good.
It was a good episode. It was just like, this guy's a little off. But not only does he have face blindness, apparently he also has book cover blindness, because he had to change his book cover because it looked like him and his cartoon wife were about to beat the baby.
And I guess the joke, I didn't really get the joke.
Did you guys see it? Did you see that cover?
Yeah, and
I saw it.
It's on our website too, under his show. New parents smell, and the parents have their arms up. This is what they're talking about. Looks like it's going to hit the kid. And the stink lines are coming from the parents' armpits. Are they saying, like, it's so hard being a parent, you stink, so you have that new parent smell? Because that's where the stink is coming from.
Yes.
That's what
I don't get
was
it.
So
I mean, I get it. I don't get it.
Odd to me, and I think sort of, like, is a good crystallization of this guest, is, like, everything was very literal. Like, new parent smell, we need to depict new parents. We need to depict smell. We need to depict, you know, it's like, why couldn't it just be new parent smell and then parents and a kid or just a baby or anything, you know? And right. then even his album title, what was it? Interplanetary dick jokes for kids
or whatever.
Geopolitical dick jokes for kids.
You know, he would have corrected you, like the first one was stupid.
I thought mine was pretty funny.
I thought it was fine. I don't know why he's giving you a hard time.
Geopolitical dick jokes for kids. He's like, because my jokes are about geopolitics and dick jokes and being a father.
Yeah, I followed.
Like, what does that mean to me? Like, that's like naming your album all of the tracks. We'll find you.
And I liked him how you were like, yeah, you know, go for it. Do it. Keith's like, yeah, you know, do it or don't.
Where do we go from geopolitical? Fuck it. What? I don't even, you can't even say take out one word or capitalize something. That I don't even know what that, I don't know how to edit that even.
What are we going to say? No. I just met you. No.
If I could have an alternative or something, I think I said, what is geopolitical about your, like, there's no, you have a funky title, right? There's no other title like that. Why are you naming it that?
And when he brought up, and I asked, he's Russian. I asked about, he's born in Russia. And I asked about the Russian-Ukraine war. He could have said something more than it's the same as Iraq when you then say you have 15 minutes on the Russia-Ukraine war. I think when he brought up the geopolitical stuff, he brought that up. I have 15 minutes. I talk about that. Mm-hmm. I think he, I don't know if I'm reaching for him.
Nope.
But at best,
I know where you're going.
He's one of these comics that, like, I can't use my act. And unfortunately, every thought I have is my act. So here are some dumb words.
Yes, I think he was protecting his act because he know, like, it is true. Our act is how we would say our comments on things.
Right.
Like, it's just the way we talk. We just honed it in and edited it. So if I repeat my thought, I'm going to repeat it the same way. And I think some people think, like, that's either not going to be genuine or it's going to be like a spoiler. And then when they come to my show, they're going to hear me say it verbatim. But I don't think people care at all. I don't care.
No, I don't care.
And I
know when I'm being tricked. Just be genuine and be yourself, like I'm just saying. And then you can repeat in that case. I know when I'm being tricked. I know the difference.
There's also people go around that because you do have to be on podcasts now. People go around that and go, in my act, I say, and then you can do it.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, okay, Ben, I hope you're listening and taking notes for next time. You get one more chance.
What?
And then you're in jail if you do a bad job.
But one more thing about the album cover with the smelly pits.
He's in jail. He's under arrest. No, go ahead.
Does this couple have friends? Who did you send your album cover to go, hey, what do you think of this? Because I would have a couple questions as your friend. It looks like you're about to beat this child. Please go take a look on our site, on keithandthegirl.com or on the app. It's amazing.
I do have friends. I have a 20-minute bit on that.
Okay, but I think the main event of this episode is when Keith discovers the air fryer live on air.
Amazing.
I can't even.
You just plug it in. Amazing.
Keith, you gave the what for and you gave the howdy doody to all of your various friends and loved ones who never told you about this air fryer and how easy it was.
Nope.
In the back of my head, I said, man, Rod is going to be so pissed when he hears this. And then Hemda, like a minute later, you said, I think Rod Morrow is somebody who has told you a lot about the air fryer. And then Rod on the forums for this episode is like, arr! And he's going to like have to isolate audio clips of him telling you about how easy the air fryer is. But you
I wonder what however, next week, last week will sound
I know.
Like.
And however we got there, Keith, mm-hmm. I'm just happy you ended up there.
See?
You and your air fryer.
Thank you.
I'm happy for the both of you. How's it been going since that recording?
Me and Rod don't talk now. But I did do mozzarella sticks since then. And those were, they were shitty, but they were shitty mozzarella sticks. But
where, from Trader Joe's?
No, some, what was it? Some shitty place. I don't know. TGI Fridays, frozen food aisle, something shitty.
Oh, okay. And that wasn't good?
No, but I could tell it was the cheese sticks.
Was it crispy like you wanted?
Yeah. Yeah, it did the right thing. It did the right thing.
I see. So it wasn't real mozzarella and it was a bullshit.
It was just shitty. Like,
I see. Okay. Well, if you're going to get Trader Joe's, it needs salt.
Okay. Good to know.
Otherwise, it's great.
Okay.
So should I get one of these things?
No. I mean, hey, Keith, what do you think? I don't have one.
It doesn't sound healthy, right? It's not a salad machine. But I do like it. No, of course, it's Rod's fault. What he should have done when I say, I have to read the directions and figure this out. You go, there's no fucking directions. You plug it in, you're golden. No pun. But he was waiting until I figured it out on my own, I guess.
I think if you have a toaster oven, it's the same, but that's just me.
Teacha manta fish.
Mm-hmm.
Teacha manta fish.
I guess.
And the poll was also about air frying.
Of course. Your choices are, I have one and I love it. That was at 60%. I have one, but I don't use it. 4%. I don't have one. 28%. I had one, but I never liked it or used it. 8%. So the majority, of course, to recap, at second place, 28% don't have one, 60% have one, and they love it.
It was pretty much the same on Reddit.
See?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a friend who she really wanted me to get one because she said, quote, you have so much counter space. And I was like,
that's why.
Excuse me? because she lives in Chinatown on like a 6th floor walk up, and she's like, all I want is an air fryer, but I don't have the counter space.
Right.
You should get one. You have so much counter space. I can count on one hand how many inches of counter space I have.
I believe I mentioned to Rod, like, I don't have 6 inches free on all sides of this air fryer. He could have said right then and there, you don't really need it. I didn't know if steam comes out of this thing. I don't know what to expect. Yeah, no, you can take in the bathtub with you. It's fantastic.
Oh my! Don't do that. When I lived on the Lower East Side, my counter space was really just, so there was a sink. There was a tiny piece of counter space that all you can do with it is put the dish rack on there. So when you do the dishes, you have some. So if you wanted to chop or anything, you remove the dish rack. And then you did your stuff on that little piece of top kitchen counter.
Yeah. I'm looking around my kitchen now so I have a microwave. I have a piece, like a furniture piece. Right. So does that count? If I added the counter space by putting in a piece of furniture?
No, is that like a what do you call that? An island? Like a small island?
Yeah, a small island with a little drawer.
I think it's you're using it, but it didn't come with your apartment, so you don't technically have it.
That's a double decker, and we've got toaster and microwave on that.
Nice.
On various shelves. Now
our microwave is on top of the fridge so that it doesn't take up more space.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah. And then the only other counter space is next to the sink, but there's no outlets over there, okay? And in order to plug something in, I'd have to put it across the kitchen. The cord would have to reach again, I don't know why we live in this city. This place is bad. Okay, moving on.
Yes.
Episode 3,566.
You know what, I'm sorry. You know why we live here? Because we already put down the down payment.
Yeah.
And what's done is done.
So we know we'll never get the security deposit right. back if we move. Right. So might as well just stay.
If we leave here, I don't know how to come back. I don't know how to be like, yeah, I'll put $10,000 for a box so I can put my first, last, and security to move back. Or I could pay my rent for 2 years.
I know. I work now fully remotely, and my parents have to. I mean, I don't want to live with my parents, though, you know? But right. I could either live in a house on a lake, or I could live on Martha's Vineyard, 3 miles from the beach. And yet, here I sit. With nary an air fryer to my name. Mm-hmm. No outlet in which to plug my various electronics. And yet, here I sit, exalted. Here I sit in absolute, you know, stunning, glorious New Yorkness, because this is where I live. And this is where I have to live because I live here, okay?
But before COVID, it was a big amusement park, you know? Now it's so much more limited, but it's limited everywhere. So it is the first time I've ever considered, like, do I need to be here? And it keeps seeming like it's almost over and then I get COVID. So I don't know. I really love this city, though. What the fuck?
All right. Well, we do have to move on.
We do. But you know what another thing is, since you bring that up about moving on? Do you remember kind of the years ago we went to my high school reunion? This is fairly the beginning of Keith and the Girl, and I'm saying what I did and stuff, talking about the, you know, we're on the internet, that's what the job is. And they like had one place in town that had the internet or something. Do you remember that? Well, that's what's going to happen. I'm going to move to Massachusetts. And they're like, wait, the internet? We're Massachusetts. Like, I don't know. I'm waiting for dumb shit like that.
No, I totally get it. And when we...
A movie theater? Make your own movies with your friends. You have the room.
It's true. When we bike around, we go to spaces where it's like, there is really everything here. We're biking by the beach. The beach we're not allowed to go into, but we're looking at it.
Because of sharks, but we're looking at it.
No, it's just gross in Long Island City in Brooklyn. And then giant parks. And we went from Harlem to like all the way down the park at night. It was like 8 o'clock at night and the whole park is super quiet. The only people in there are the people jogging and riding bikes. So there's hardly anybody there. It's this huge park. And I know people outside of New York are like, we have parks too. I'm like, we have parks. We have ferries. We have the subway. We have these bikes. We have these bike lanes. We have these food restaurant things and all kinds of ethnicities and the museums and the like everything that any other place has, I think is put here. And we could just go from borough to borough and see all that stuff. That's why I'm here.
You don't have to convince me because I already live here. I already live here, Hamda. But as I said initially, we're just trapped here by our own egos. And, or at least I feel that is the truth for me. It's like...
So are you considering leaving?
No! What am I, crazy?
Are you even listening? Where else can you go where whatever new place you're lacking at tells you that the pizza place around the corner is the best in the whole city? Where else is going to do that?
I mean, I've been on Martha's Vineyard a lot because I spend a lot of time. And also I have a great situation because I can just sort of leave and come back. But I went to this little potluck with all of these entrepreneurial young women on Martha's Vineyard who have like a clothing store and a bathing suit line and like an apothecary, like skin, I do skincare, and they all spend half the year at Martha's Vineyard. And then like the other half of the year, they live in either Southern California or like on Hawaii or in San Francisco. And they're just like, yeah, we do this and this. And it's like, wait, what? You're not. And they're just like having like beautiful dresses and like strong boyfriends and stuff. And I'm like, that could be me. I could be that. And then I think about, you know, no, I have to toil. I have to toil in the under the hot sun in the city. I have to pay $25 for a sandwich. I have to. I don't know. It's just a funny thing. Life is a funny thing. That being up on you when you think everything's okay and everything's okay. 3566.
Yes.
Full Frontal with Kevin Allison.
Uh-huh. What
somebody.
He's
the best. Somebody commented on the forums that they were surprised that this episode title hadn't been taken yet.
I was surprised too.
And so was I. When they mentioned it, I said, oh my gosh, isn't that funny?
Did we fuck up?
There's still more to do. No. I mean, I didn't check your work. But
I was just surprised.
You didn't keep it?
It used to be one of my jobs as intern. Mm-hmm. Can you check this title to make sure we haven't used it before?
And so she has to go back and hear every show we've ever done up to that point.
Yeah, it would take quite a while. Kevin Allison, I mean, you get what you get. You know, mm-hmm. you know what you're going to get. And boy, do you get it. Boom. Opens the door. I have a yeast infection. You get a yeast infection. You get a yeast infection. And it's... and it's just like the detailed description of the rash and where it is on the member. And
it's only because he has me thinking of a Billy Procida or the Boss Bitches where I'm just like, tell me more about this penis rash. I'm eating it up.
Yes. And you know me, I'm famously sex negative. Mm-hmm. So I'm, you know, just like. Gritting my teeth, white knuckling it through the episode. Oh, God, is he going to drink pee next? Oh, boy. But I love his just pleasant, sort of like bemused character of saying like outrageous stuff, sort of similar to Newsy in a sense, where it's just like, yeah. So then I went and I texted the guy and I said, you might want to get this checked out. And I never heard back. And then I said, are you getting these tests? I don't know. I was just, and some people are tops, some people are bottoms, but I'm a side to side. I don't even like anal. What a legend.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Seriously. Yeah, he's such a pleasure start to finish. It was the whole time, you're just like, yes, this is what it feels like. That's awesome.
And Chemda had her breakthrough medical idea. What if you heat the sickness out?
Like, heat the sickness from within.
Right. So they started inventing, I don't know if you heard about this, Kenda, saunas and hot tubs. And
yes, this is a hack. When you don't have a sauna and a hot tub and it's COVID and you can't even go to the gym, this is your outdoor sauna. The poor man's sauna. You're schwitzing just like the rest of them. Go
That's
ahead.
That's why they call it Jewish penicillin, right? Matzo ball soup.
And sun.
And it's so hot, you just pour water on the concrete underneath you. It's New York. That's the kind of outdoors I have. You have a steam bath. You're good.
Oh, you're talking about your backyard, yeah.
Yes.
Hot soup. Yeah. Isn't Hemda lucky? She lives in a studio with a backyard. And what we mean by that is she pays $10,000 a month to be able to walk out to a 2x2 piece of concrete. So part of her apartment doesn't have a ceiling, and that's like, whoa.
Well, I have like a
jackpot.
Is it called lattice fence, you know, with the holes in it, and my neighbor like hangs plants on it, and I'm like, that's cutting into my space, bitch.
Keith has a big yard. Keith, do you call your backyard a yard?
It's what I'm paying for. I have a big concrete, yeah.
Yeah, you have a big concrete.
I have a big room with no ceiling. Right. Oh,
my outside is as big as the whole
space.
The outside's called a utility room.
Did you hear Hemda also has a broken washing machine in her
That's
apartment?
Right, yeah.
What?
But it's the worst timing. We have COVID. We can't do laundry. And our oven doesn't work. It's just very poor timing. So now we have to go to a laundromat because we're out of... So I masked up. I tried to stay away from everybody. I dropped it off, so I'm not hanging out there. I don't know. I'm trying. But there it is. I had COVID, and I had to go get laundry done. And I'm trying to save everybody from this disease while I'm in there. But they, like, open the door for you, get close up. And I'm like, come on.
I heard you can just put your jeans in the freezer, though. So that-
Our freezer doesn't know.
And honestly, if you
think our freezer has room for jeans, there's no room in there.
If you're eating hot soup in your yard with wearing frozen jeans, that is a New York City life hack. That's... And that is as good as having health insurance. Okay.
That's a health insurance / NYC spa.
Yep.
No, but I think you're absolutely right, and I can see that making you feel better. And just everything you were saying in that episode, like, you know, getting yourself together, getting showered, getting clean, putting clean clothes on, like, that's a big part of getting better and feeling better.
Yeah, and stuff that I don't want to do. I just want to lay there in my filth, but a shower is really good.
As a person who's been pretty sick, I can say, you know, the last thing you might want to do sometimes is get out for a walk or move around, move your body. But that's usually what makes you feel a little bit better. And sleeping, of course.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much all we did last week was record OMAT and sleep. We tried taking a little walk. I took a little bike ride also when I was feeling a little bit better. And it's true. Those did help me feel better. But I also didn't want to be like, I'm better. Let's run. I just wanted to be like, let's see how much I can do. I'll walk around the block. I'll maybe, you know, get something we need or something.
And it was also way too hot here, right? To do much of anything.
Yes, it was very hot.
The heat doesn't bother me as much as it does other people.
Yeah, jeez.
Sorry, I feel bad saying it now. Like, I feel like nobody likes the people who like heat anymore, so I'll just sit back.
Yeah, you're destroying the planet.
I'm enjoying destroying the planet.
But the poll had to do with the Hemda's health hack. Hemda's health hack.
Well, this is what I find so funny, because Sun and Soup, and you know, no shit, right? But apparently the audience disagreed. This is like, I take medicine sometimes and work out and eat right, and the audience doesn't necessarily agree. Soup and Sun, this was kind of this poll. Soup and Sun, great idea or stop it. 60% say stop it. It's heat. It cleans up the system. She didn't fucking invent it. You do it too. What the fuck are we talking about?
Appia did school me, and...
That what? Don't lay on the sun. Try not to dehydrate too much. Don't become a raisin. What the fuck could you have been schooled on?
Don't put your hand in the hot soup. You might burn your hand. Right.
Still, you want to sip slowly, though. Not dance around like it's the sound of music. What could you have been schooled on?
Don't throw it over your head.
Right. Drink it normally. Just because you love the sun.
She said that it is true that the heat and whatever it does.
Well, you got to be part of Big Pharma to know that. But
she said it's not the sweat. That's not how you get rid of toxins.
It's the humidity.
It's the liver. I thought when you sweat, you are getting rid of toxins. But she said it's only the liver that gets rid of toxins.
Okay,
but then what's it get rid of? It gets rid of sickness. What's it getting rid of?
What do you mean when you hear the phrase "get rid of toxins"? What do you picture?
That's a good. I don't know.
When you picture the liver, what do you picture? And when you picture the liver getting rid of toxins, what do you think is happening? I'm really asking. Okay. I don't know.
With the liver, I picture one of those, you know, Schoolhouse Rock type of cartoons, and the stuff goes through the liver. The liver does, you know, like a factory, and it if it's a healthy liver, it cleans it out, and then you go through the rest of the system. That's what I picture.
So what is it? Is it pee?
Oh, I don't know where it goes after that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Me neither.
I would not pass a biology test right now at all.
And what is it? You know?
The toxin?
What's going through there, the liver? Is it pee? Is it only pee when it leaves your body, or is it pee when it's in there too?
Isn't kidneys the pee?
Kidneys is the pee.
Yeah.
And that... liver's not the poop. I know that much. What are the toxins then?
The liver. All the blood leaving the stomach and intestines passes through the liver. The liver processes this blood and breaks down balances and creates the nutrients and also metabolizes drugs into forms that are easier to use for the rest of the body or that are non-toxic.
When you're in a sauna and a sauna helps, you may know it as soup and sun. Then what's it doing? Why is that good for you?
I don't know.
Well, wouldn't that be the answer, Appia? Wouldn't that be the fucking thing?
In all fairness, I'm not quoting her well. Okay. Facilities offering sauna bathing often claims health benefits that include detoxification, increased metabolism, weight loss, increased blood circulation, pain reduction, anti-aging, skin rejuvenation. I guess this is what people are claiming.
Okay, it's a lot of claims.
I mean, I love a good fucking sauna.
Soup and sun.
Well, it's all in your head. You don't love a sauna. It's called the liver, Hemda.
I'm so sorry for misquoting you. I know you said it better.
You thought you liked soup and sun, but really you liked your own liver.
Yeah.
Now don't you feel like an idiot? The whole time you thought you were having a nice bowl of soup outside, but really you were just having a liver, you fucking asshole. God damn.
These are these people that say space is great, but can't tell you why.
We'll get to that teaser. Okay. So we have to get to it. So Craig, apparently I broke his heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm listening to Diamond Dogs and I'm saying, hold on a second. Keith is the one who, not to say that I didn't text you about the space, and you read my text faithfully, and I feel totally well represented by you on the episode.
Thank you.
But why does Craig hold me to a different standard?
Well, you are the one who started the text between you and me.
Right, I know, because I thought it was... funny
because when it's Keith, great when I'm Keith just saying upset, why he hates you so much
because when Keith is upset it doesn't matter. Keith is going to be upset and it's going to be pointed at you, but when Bianca's upset she might have a reason. This is a fall from grace. This is like Keith is yelling at Craig every other week.
He can pretend that I'm joking. He often likes to pretend when I'm joking, when it's the, you know, hard truths. But if you aren't fascinated by space, that's real, and now there's a problem.
Well, I didn't bring Craig up at all in these texts. You were talking about Craig.
Yes.
I was talking about myself.
Right.
And
he's misguided, sure. Yeah, def.
I just thought it was so funny that he was like, I think Bianca is not liking space to impress you. I think she's trying to curry favor with you, Keith, and that's why she doesn't.
She really loves it because everybody does.
Yeah. But I was like, okay, all right, I'll bite. You know, what's going on with this James Webb?
Mm-hmm. How's he holding up?
I did a Google, and I wrote in Google, James Webb Telescope outcomes, research findings. And I have a New York Times article here called Five Things Learned from the Webb Telescope's First good. Images.
Because Craig said it's not even the pictures that are exciting. And then I'm like, well, then kill me. What's exciting? The words? I know I'm flying around space. I remember when Amazon flew to space and he's like, oh, the words.
Yeah. Okay. The pictures highlighted the great potential of the telescope to plumb the secrets of deep space. Below are some of the things we have learned so far.
Okay.
And the next bullet point. The telescope works really, really well.
That's love one that. Thing we've learned. That's great. That's great. 10 billion, I would hope so. Craig keeps telling me, you don't know that they tested this telescope and like it's in New York, but they found a bee in Oregon. I'm like, then show me those pictures. Let's see more bees in different areas that are far away. That sounds fun.
Yes. Jane Rigby, the operations project scientist for the telescope, explained during a news conference on Tuesday, quote, I had the very emotional reaction of, oh my goodness, it works, she said, describing the first razor-sharp test images the telescope sent home. And it works better than we thought.
Okay.
Now imagine if I do that in my job.
Right.
Where I work, which is sending $400 shoes to rich ladies. Now, say I send a pair of shoes and only one of them gets there. Right. And I say, wow, one of them got there. It worked. And it works better than I thought. Now, would I get fired? The answer is yes.
Interesting. Is it because another American was right next to that person going, God, I'm hungry?
Yes, exactly. So there are 13 projects. They're early release science programs. They're chosen to jumpstart the web era. They cover a range of categories. They include our solar system, galaxies in intergalactic space, massive black holes, and the galaxies that they live in, as well as the evolution of stars.
Okay, kind of redundant, kind of repeating some words.
And here's what Dr. Rigsby has to say about that. Dr. Rigby, the science results are going to be rolling out from here on in.
Oh, okay. I'll stick around. Okay.
This is the New York Times.
They couldn't come up with something from anybody.
And the title is Five Things Learned from the Webb Telescope's First Images, just to remind you. And here are the two quotes. Oh my God, it works. And the science results are going to be rolling out from here on in. Now, I love the idea of learning the secrets of space and time.
Sure.
My point to Craig is just, we haven't.
Right, we haven't.
We can see pictures of stuff. That's all they've given us.
And they're not that good, these pictures.
The pictures are cool.
Okay.
But
if you say so.
I've seen a lot of cool pictures in my
life. Right. We didn't tell Craig, me and Bianca happened, even though we were born differently, different situations, different parentings. We've seen many cool fucking pictures.
Well, you
I
do
promise
live in
you.
New York, yeah.
Right.
Why do we pay high rent? We see a lot of
There's a lot of cool pictures. Yeah.
So this scientist, this astronomer, Nestor Espinosa, when he saw one of these images, you know what he said? I'm beyond stoked to be sharing this with you.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Well, he's not an English major, right? He's a space thing.
Craig, find a safe space. You're okay.
Don't bring up space to him.
And then my favorite part of the article. The most striking image was of the Carina Nebula, a vast swirling cloud of dust that is both a star nursery and home to some of the most luminous and explosive stars in the Milky Way. Seen in infrared, the nebula resembled a looming, eroded coastal cliff dotted with hundreds of stars that astronomers had never seen before. Quote, "It took me a while to figure out what to call out in this image." Amber Strawn, a deputy project scientist for the telescope, said as she pointed to a craggy structure. The picture also contained structures that scientists couldn't explain, like one weird curving feature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Quote, "As always, there is room for the unexpected," said Amaya Morrow Martin, an astronomer at the Space Telescope Science Institute, who presented the image to her colleagues there on Tuesday. Quote, "We have no idea what this is."
That's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of it. When I turned in a paper in school, I should have left it all blank. And they go, "What? Well, this is an F." I go, "An F? Think of the potential. It's an A+.
It's like if I was doing a science project on cows, and I took a picture of my computer screen on a Google image street view where there was a cow.
Yes.
And I was like, "Cows! This is a project about cows.
There's other stuff going on, I think." End quote.
Yeah. I just think, like, it's so funny to me because I totally understand, like, being excited about outer space, things beyond your comprehension, a world of wonder.
We've seen his movies,
wonders,
sure.
To perform.
His wonders to perform.
I don't need to see an image to feel that sense of wonder, you know? I don't feel like as a human race, and this is to Craig, and I'm coming to the table in good faith here. Good faith discussion via cross podcast conversations, right, which is a new form of talking.
You don't want to go face to face.
No, never. But if we are on Earth, the planet that supports our human life, staring up into space, looking for planets that could potentially support other human life, while this one literally burns to the ground or becomes flooded by freaking hellish floods, and the lab gets wiped away where we see the pictures of the from the web. It's like, what are you gonna do then?
I
get it. It's interesting. But I need you to come back. I need you to focus. I need you to circle the wagons. I need you to spend the money here at home.
Come back down to Earth, if you will.
I love space, but only because it's where I live on Earth.
Right.
New York City. I can't leave it. Earth. I can't leave it. I love it. I try to improve it. I try to make it better. I am an earthling, okay? I got my head out of the clouds, my head's out of my ass, and that's all she wrote.
That's right. That's right. Now that's saying something.
Hey, all you assholes, come and listen to us. It's last week on Keelan the Girl, and I have time for two questions.
How are you feeling in general, health-wise?
Pretty good. Same old, just dealing with the old rash, dealing with the thing that's really pissing me off is that I, am on all these medications that made me gain weight and get really chunky in my neck. I have like a really fat neck and I just like, I don't know. I can't stand it. I can't stand looking at myself. The hair is helping. The hair is helping. But
that was going to be question number two. How is Caroline the hair holding up?
She's good.
You braided it. You're really playing around. Yeah.
She's braided. I took her into the ocean. We went swimming.
Oh.
She's a great swimmer.
Okay. Held up just fine.
Held up just fine. Okay.
And there was a shark sighting. Still made it out alive.
Oh yeah, I was in the ocean, and then I got out, toweled off, and then air horn, everyone out of the water. There's a shark, literally on the beach I was at. And so I said,
"Meanwhile, was it at that dipping that you saw the sea lion and then they did the air horns for
after
the shark?
After that, I saw the seal.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
The sea lion. What am I saying?
I wouldn't know. I don't know the difference between the liver and your pores.
Listen, I love Earth, but not that much to know the difference between a fucking seal and a sea lion. I don't know.
Well, that's ocean. Now you're getting into ocean territory.
I think one is made up.
Ocean, space, walrus. Who knows?
Did Craig ever go snorkeling or scuba diving? He would die. Now that's something.
Why? What? Oh, because it's magical?
It's fucking magical. Do you remember years ago, we went to like a regular zoo and I touched a stingray and I'm like, oh my God, these pictures do nothing for me of space. I touched a stingray. It's fucking awesome.
Let's go.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
You seeing anybody? You flirting with anybody? You texting?
Gosh. Wow. Good question. No.
Okay.
I have a friend who was dating two guys. I don't know if you've heard of this, but sometimes people like date more than one person at once and they like, you know, have fun and,
and see who they like better. Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. And she's really hot and the guys were really hot and she was telling me about them and I was just like, I felt like such an asshole because everything she said, I was like, that sucks. Like, he's doing this and that's a red flag and that's a deal breaker, ladies, and you should run, don't walk, and tell him he's gotta go down to hell and get you a piece of pizza. And meanwhile, it's just me and Caroline, you know, right, floating around in the sea, right, waiting for a shark. So what are you going to
do? All right.
If you like pina coladas, getting caught in the rain, please leave me a comment and we'll go on a date. Me, you, and Caroline. It's a threesome. Bang, bang, bang. EthanTheGirl.com.
During sex, she's like, don't forget about Caroline.